Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel Yore, Nathan Weir, brothers, we read comics.
Yeah, and I read physical comics. You know what I mean? I'm just kind of like a purist like that.
With your hands?
With my hands and the grease on my fingers, and it gets all over the pages.
Get a little smudge on there?
Yeah, and I eat Cheetos while I read it.
Oh, no. You don't have those like nerd like chopsticks for like snacks?
Our cousin got one of those. I don't know if you saw that. I don't know if you had left.
I saw that it was on his list.
Yeah.
But that's cool they got those.
Yeah. Dude, that's actually a good idea for reading comics. They don't market it like that because nobody reads comics really, but that's a good use case. Have you seen those like auto scrollers for like your phone or like tablet?
Yeah.
That'd be good for a comic too. Because if you're like at the gym or something.
Oh, it's like left and right.
Yeah. I don't know how they work. If you can even do left and right, it might only be up and down. But
it's like only for infinity scrollers.
Yeah, true.
It's only for webtoons.
They like corner the market.
Yeah, you just don't go on webtoons enough, but they have those ads everywhere.
Yeah, true.
But anyway, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Once in Future. We got Back Matter Matters and The Polist. But we start with the news. What news we got?
Honestly, not that much news, considering we haven't done the news for a little bit. But we got some stuff. New series is. So we'll shotgun these. Because there was the March solicitations that dropped, but from DC, Greg Rucka and Danny for Batwoman, we know about that one already. Scotty Young and Jorge Corona are doing Lobo. Did we know that one already?
We knew that one already. I don't think we knew that Danny was going to be at Batwoman.
Oh, okay. And then Tony Fleeks and Carmine Di Giandomenico are going to be doing Deathstroke the Terminator, number one.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. That's a great artist.
Yeah, it is. I think he did he do that Justice League series with Chip? Is that who that was?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Oh. I think he was on like Nemesis Reloaded or something.
Oh, okay.
And it was like insane art.
Yeah, he's a great artist. So that's pretty cool. New stuff from DC. On the Marvel side, there's going to be The Sentry, number one. It's a 4-issue limited series with co-creator Paul Jenkins coming back to write and artist Christian Rosado. So that should be fun.
You said they announced the release dates for Batwoman and Lobo?
Just sometime in March. I don't know if them specifically.
Yeah, Batwoman's the 11th, Lobo's the 4th. 2000 AD, Nathan.
A couple years ago, yeah. Half a century ago.
Yeah, quarter century?
Quarter century, yep, you're right.
Yep. The British sci-fi magazine will be distributed through Lunar.
And oh, really?
Distributed to the USA in April.
Oh, nice.
He's normally just like in.
Wait, that's big.
Yeah, in the UK.
That's huge.
It's huge. I'll check it out.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Because that's normally like the anthology book, right?
Yeah.
But they'll have continuing stories just.
They'll have like.
In there?
Judge Dredd in there.
Oh, okay, cool. That's pretty neat.
Rogue Trooper and stuff like that.
Here's one I thought was interesting. I probably wouldn't pick it up, but I just thought this headline was funny. There's a Vault Comics sets March 2026 launch for Nectar, a blood-drinking butterfly horror series.
That's funny.
So it'll apparently a number one Audible New York Times bestselling author Jeremy Robinson is writing, and it's going to be illustrated by a guy named Anna Paola Martello. Just some supernatural horror thing. So a butterfly horror, if you're into that.
Sure
I am. I used to be scared of butterflies as a kid. You know that? One of them landed. I think it was that SpongeBob episode.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
It was like,
I did the close-up, and I was like, what the fuck is that thing?
Yeah.
But I'm fine with them now. They're chill.
You know, I can't confidently say that I'm...
not afraid of butterflies?
Like... you know, super confident in like a butterfly wonderland.
That's a big swing, though.
Yeah. Like, I'm not stoked when they land on like my neck or something.
Yeah, true. That's true.
We got a Street Fighter trailer. If you care about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Are you excited about Andrew Schultz?
No.
Being in a big movie with Jason Momoa? And 50 Cent, I think, will be fun.
50 Cent's in that?
Yeah.
Doing what?
He's being a street fighter.
Oh.
He is character.
I don't think he's in it.
I'm pretty sure he's in it. He is going to portray Balrog.
Who's that?
A disgraced boxer and antagonist.
Is it the one with the hairline?
Yeah, like the
M-looking hairline?
Yeah, that's him.
Oh,
that's... You know Balrog?
You know
Ball like that?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I just saw that picture and I didn't even like clock that was him.
Oh, yeah, that'll be him. I hope they do that because I think that'd be funny. But yeah, that was interesting. That seems like it'll be fun. I never really was... Of all the fighting games, I think I've been into Street Fighter the least.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I've been way more to Mortal Kombat, Injustices, even like Killer Instinct, you know, stuff like that. But Street Fighter, I know it's like probably technically the best of like a 2D fighting game, but I just never got into it.
Did you see like the Star Wars Galactic Racer trailer?
Yeah, that looked cool.
Oh my god.
Oh, if they do it, then they... Oh my god.
I know it's like probably forever until it comes out, but oh my god.
I wonder like what it's even going to be.
Pod racing, baby.
I know it's like pod racing, but are you going to like pick your engine?
You pick everything, baby.
Is it going to be like Forza where you can like choose the engine type, you know, stuff like that? Like how deep are we getting into it? Or is it like not even...
You goddamn right.
Just like just pick a pod racer and go. It doesn't matter. Either way, it could be cool, but... I wonder what the customization will be.
I assume just everything.
And if that one fucker is going to be in it that gets murdered. There's a lot of them that get murdered in that race. Yeah. What's that dude's name?
I don't know. My brain's not like that today.
Gascano?
That can't be right.
Quadinaro? No, that doesn't sound right either.
What are you looking up to get these results?
Pod racer alien name? What else would I Google?
That's valid, I guess.
Name of bad guy pod racer. Sebulba.
Sebulba.
Of course.
That is.
I wonder if Sebulba is going to be in it. But yeah, that seems like it'll be fun.
Have you seen on Twitter how people just like generally refer to bizarre Star Wars characters as Glubshiddos.
Yeah. Because that's a real Star Wars character name.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the term I think refers to just characters that have screen time in Star Wars and have a name for some reason, even though they're not named in the movie, but they have a name, so they're Glubshiddos. And I like that. I used to have one that was a favorite, but I forgot his name.
Is it just the blue one who plays the drums?
I do like that guy,
whatever his name is.
Or like Snice Noodles. Is that the one that like sings
in the
cantina,
dude,
but in the remade version where they're CGI'd in?
Dude, Oni Press is going to publish Archie comics this year. Did you say that?
I didn't say that, but I did see it, and I don't know what that means, but at least we're getting more Archie.
Maybe they'll do more... Wait. Three titles for middle grade and YA graphic novels in 2027. Wait, what the fuck?
That's a year from now.
Yeah.
There was... Didn't you know Creepshow?
Yeah.
Well, now there's going to be Super Creepshow, which is going to be like a regular Creepshow comic, but they're superhero horror anthology series.
They're doing another one?
Was Super Creepshow a thing before?
Yeah, I remember I showed you the cover as the DKR one, but it was the Creeper.
Yeah, how long ago was that?
A couple months, like I think October.
Oh, yeah, they're doing another one in March. It's going to have Kieran Gillen and Ryan North on it with artist Rossi Gifford. Oh, yeah.
I think this is a one shot though. So
yeah, this is going to be like a 5-issue series, I guess.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It definitely.
Kieran Gillen, Ryan North. Kieran Gillen wrote this one though in this episode. So that's pretty fun.
It's got legs.
Yeah. Did you read that
one? Yeah.
That's cool.
There was like one I liked and then two that I thought were pretty good.
That's a good hit rate.
But I also like didn't give it to you to read. So is whatever that says about that.
Yeah, that's fair. Wonder Man, they're doing one.
New one, yeah. Mark Wade, Buckingham.
Jerry Duggan, Mark Buckingham.
Jerry Duggan. I think you fucking said that like 2 weeks ago too.
Yeah, probably.
We keep bringing it up.
I'm just so excited.
And you're really fucking with me, dude.
Dude, we haven't said the news in a couple weeks. I don't know what I said or what I didn't say. But that's everything I have.
Is Ryan North doing The Flash?
Yes.
Gavin Guidry?
Yes.
Wow.
So that should be fun.
Not gonna buy it, but
yeah, me neither.
I like that. if it comes out and I hear it's good, I'll look into it.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. Gavin Guidry is pretty good.
I do like him,
but I've only seen him on horror stuff. I feel like recently.
Yeah, just The Closet.
The Closet and the I'm Santa and I Murder People. No, that's not Gavin Guidry, is it? Who does that?
What do you mean I'm Santa? Oh,
James Tynion and
that was not him. It was someone else.
Oh, okay, I just know him from The Closet then.
Yeah, the thing you didn't read.
I have it.
All three issues?
Probably, actually.
Hmm.
I need to take an inventory of what I have.
Aben, World Tree. The James Tynion book.
Uh-huh.
That is getting an animated series at Netflix.
I feel like he's gotten a lot of adaptations that have not come out.
Yep.
That sucks for him.
You know, it's just...
I think he just needs more motion.
I think... you know, people just like to announce things as soon as possible, and then
And then people will buy it, and maybe they'll get a little kick in their monthly check from each publisher. And I mean, it makes sense.
Exactly.
I'm still waiting on fucking Scalped, the Jason Aaron book, the one that shot a pilot.
Really?
Yeah. Like, there's film of that pilot somewhere. It just never came out, I guess.
That's interesting. What did we read this week, Nathan?
We read Once in Future, Volume 1, The King is Undead.
Your Christmas gift.
My Christmas gift from Daniel.
Yeah.
It's by Kieran Gillen, who wrote it. Dan Mora, who wrote and inked, or he just illustrated. And colored by Tamara Bonvillain, with letters by Ed Dukeshire. Sick name. Early Dan Mora stuff. So this is cool. I've been into his stuff.
Is this as early as we know of? Is there something before this? Surely, right?
Klaus?
Is that before that?
That was before this, I think. But I could be wrong.
Okay.
And then he was on Power Rangers for a long time, but I'm pretty sure that was right before he did a bunch of DC stuff.
Right.
Or I could be wrong about that, too. But this is before his DC stuff, we know for sure. He did 30 issues of this, I guess?
Yeah, something like that.
So that's cool.
Yeah. Kieran Gillen found the cheat code first.
Dude, I know. He's investing.
Yeah, he realized that he could he spam this shit.
He invested in the Dan Mora stocks before
this,
they went
away. This probably all came out in a year.
Dude, that guy works so fucking fast.
Yeah.
There's another artist that's like that right now where I'm like, you have two series coming out right now? I think it was...
Hayden Sherman?
Dude, yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck was he on last year?
I don't know. Cocaine.
Into the Unbeing and fucking Wonder Woman and fucking other shit. No, and the Batman shit.
Yeah, Batman.
What the
Dark
fuck?
Patterns.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Very impressive.
They gotta be cheating. But that doesn't matter.
Dude, I thought these colors were like iconic.
Dude, they're so
the heart
so
and soul
strong.
of this
keep,
book.
Keep those two together all the time. They're a package deal now.
Never.
And any comic will be at least a 7 out of 10. It could be just people pooping in their bathroom all the time, and it would look gorgeous.
Great colors.
Colors, great art.
Like, obviously the art's incredible and the story is what it is, but the colors, I'm like, wow, I love looking at this.
I know. I love looking at, you know, a mystical world that doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
But it looked great.
What did you think of this?
I thought it was good, to be honest. I think it's some fantasy stuff that loses me towards the end when they... I guess go a little bit too much into British history that maybe I missed out.
Yeah, I think,
on learning about in our
I think
American.
Kieran's a British dude, so
yeah. So it makes sense, like the setting and stuff. It feels like it's a national treasure, fantasy book.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah. So I like some of that aspect of it, and I like the dynamic of like the main two characters.
The lore that they got into is like our cowboys. You know, I think
pretty much. And so I'm like, am I supposed to know what Bath is? That's apparently a place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just the setting of it maybe throws me off a little bit. And, you know, fantasy stuff for me is hard to get into. But when Dan Mora is drawing a sick skeleton man with a sword and spikes coming out of his head, I'm like, I like this.
Yeah.
So pretty good overall. What'd you think?
I thought it had pretty solid pacing.
Yeah.
Like, even though it was, like, lore heavy.
Yeah.
But the...
I can see why people like this for sure.
I got through it, even though not everything I was reading, I understood and grasped.
Yeah.
I'm just like, maybe it'll make sense. It didn't. But
mm-hmm.
I think I understood what they were doing.
Yeah.
Like, physically.
Mm-hmm.
Visually.
Physically.
Yeah. But like...
You read it digital.
Like, the reasons for some things, I might not know 100%.
I would agree with that.
But, you know, this is cool. Like, it looked great, obviously. But I think the idea of it in my head was cooler than what it was.
I think I would agree with that.
But perhaps just knowing how the world works a little bit more and, like, the series as a whole would kind of fill that expectation a little bit more. But This is what happens when you just talk about something a little too long, you know, and just think about, we should do that one day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just build it up too much.
Yeah, I mean...
Whenever we say, we should read that, we should do that the next week, you know?
Yeah, we should. Just get it over with.
Yeah.
I think it says that this volume one was published in 2022. But I think the series started in 2019. So, I think that would have been right before he went to DC to do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, it's saying that number one came out in 2019.
Okay.
August. And then it's saying maybe you got like a reprint or something because it's showing.
Yeah,
you said 2020?
2022 is what this says, but it's probably just the reprint.
Yeah.
Run. So pretty cool. Let's get into it. So it starts with some guys murdering an archaeologist for some sort of sword artifact. We don't really know what it is yet. And then we meet Duncan, who's on a first date with Rose, who's incredibly out of his league. And he gets a call about his gran, who lives in a, like, what do you call that? An elderly home?
Retirement home?
Retirement home. And she's gone missing. And so he goes to find her. He gets a call from her. He meets up with Gran in the woods. And Duncan is attacked by a questing beast because they're about to go on a magical quest together. And he's like, I don't know what the hell this is. And we find out that Gran used to be a monster hunter and she needs Duncan's help to find Excalibur. Like the Excalibur, but not really, I guess. And that's been taken by some bad people and they plan on reviving King Arthur. So we get some early Dan Mora. It's interesting because he's still really, really fucking strong in this. I mean, I say early, but this is probably just right before DC stuff, it seems like.
I feel like it's as strong as ever. You know?
Yeah. Oh, I've just noticed like some faces are like a little bit more cartoony in some aspects, but he's still so fucking good in this.
Yeah.
Everything looks cool. The people look great.
Consistent.
Like every person is like kind of sexy in this, even the grandma.
Which I think is to its detriment.
Yeah, it could be. Because I look at this dude and he's supposed to be like this like nerd.
Yeah.
We find out he's a virgin later. Are you kidding me? That guy's a virgin.
Yeah.
And
then there's a character in this who's older than she looks, you know, and that can kind of stifle how you read this.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll get to that. But yeah,
there's the questing beast in this, which is like an absurd design.
It's like a lion with like a snake head, but really big. And it's got a stomach full of dogs.
Yeah, what is that about? They're like barking inside the stomach.
Yeah, that was weird.
they went crazy with that.
There's more to it, but
and then there's a part where Gran like shoots Duncan in his ear to convince him that she like isn't fucking around. I thought that was funny.
Yeah,
I like Gran.
Yeah, and then you see some continuity with that, like. In later issues, you see a chunk missing from his ear. Because that's what happens when you shot in the ear, Nathan.
Yeah, that's, you know, you think that that would be very convincing. If I saw him without a piece missing from his ear, I'd be like, this is stupid.
Did you even really get shot?
Did you even really get shot in the ear? That's what I would be asking.
We saw blood.
Yeah. So that's a good thing to point out, Daniel. Good point.
His left ear, too, might I add.
Just missed. If he had turned his head just a little bit, we would have had a much different story right now.
So, there are shooters that are that good that can just fucking clip in here.
Yeah, that's true. Just got to point to once in the future.
Yeah. Anyway. Dude, Gran, she like rolls her own cigarettes, but instantly I'm like, is that Doobie? She about to smoke out of his retirement home.
Yeah, she's tough.
Yeah.
She used to be a monster hunter, which is cool. And I like that dynamic of like finding out that like your grandma used to be this like insane badass, but now she's just old.
Yeah. You know? She said she used to like hunt vampires, and I'm like, I didn't expect those to be in this.
Yeah, book, true. I mean, know? There wasn't any, but they're part of just monsters in general that she used to hunt.
She's like, no, Duncan's like, what happened? Why'd you stop hunting vampires? She's like, I ran out of vampires.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh,
that's cold as fuck. She's like, I did it.
Yeah.
So chapter 2.
Oh, did you pick up that this sword like heals people when it cuts you or something?
No.
Okay.
Is there? Wait, in this issue?
I think that's an aspect. Yeah.
In this issue.
Yeah.
What sword?
Maybe the Excalibur.
We haven't seen the Excalibur yet.
The sword that's at the beginning.
Oh, that one. I thought that was just like is that the actual sword itself?
Dude, I don't know. Never mind. I'm sorry I asked. I guess I paid too much attention to this.
Maybe.
I think that's how they get Arthur back to life.
That would make sense.
Is by stabbing the dead body.
The dead body, so that it heals him.
Yeah. How did you think that they got him back?
I thought it was just magic. It's like you connect it together with this.
Magic? I don't think there's just magic in any of this book.
This is all science for you.
Yeah. Dude.
Including the questing
there's
beast.
There's a hypothesis. And
how do the dogs get in the questing beast stomach then if it's all science?
You gotta be eaten.
You got real hungry. Chapter 2, Gran and Duncan get to some tower thing where they see the bad guys have already begun resurrecting King Arthur. King Arthur is like he gets the sword, which I guess heals him. And as a skeleton, he kills all the guys that aren't British, which is kind of funny. And leaves only one woman who claims that she has a Galahad that can bring a grail to King Arthur. We don't really know what that means yet, but King Arthur resurrects the men that he like just killed as soldiers. And then he sends them after Duncan and Gran when they hear them. And this whole sequence of like resurrecting King Arthur is super cool.
Yeah, like
he's like a skeleton.
His muscle fibers are slowly coming back.
Yeah, the specifically like the muscles regrowing and stuff. Like each panel is super fun, and like you kind of have to pay attention a little bit to catch it. So I like that. And then
he's got this cool crown.
Yeah,
definitely cool design. But it gets to a point where I'm like, oh, is he just done healing? You know, I'm like, is there more? Because his like intestines are exposed the rest of the time.
Yeah. And that's, I have a question about that.
So it just means that he's like half healed?
He's not full heal yet?
I don't know. It's just, that was the coolest design rather than just making him a guy.
Yeah, that's true. If you could just like see his guts a bit, you know, then you know he's a bad guy.
Yeah, he needed to find out where everyone was from before he picked who helped him or whatever.
Yeah, he's a bit.
He would cut your hand and lick the blood.
I guess if you looked the blood, you'd be like, this tastes like a Frenchman.
Yeah.
And then he kills him.
And then he gets mad at Anglo-Saxons. I had to Google that.
Does it mean? I was going to Google it and I forgot.
I'm like, I remember learning about this.
Yeah, me too.
And it's like Germans who came to Britain. I don't know if it was like an invasion or something. But.
Not for like tourism purposes.
Yeah. So they weren't like pure Brit or whatever.
I'm gonna look it up.
I think I nailed
it. He's about the purity.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
I think I
Germans
nailed it.
That came to Britain or something.
Yeah.
Anglo-Saxon meaning.
Read it out loud. First thing you see.
Relating to or denoting the Germanic inhabitants of England from their arrival in the 5th century up to the Norman conquest.
Dude, yeah. I nailed that. That's exactly what I said.
I've never heard Germanic before.
Germanic is
Germanic. Germanic. Yeah.
Is it? It's like Germain.
It is. It's a street. Or basically of English descent.
So I guess it's not quite English.
But what is this? What is just a Saxon? Is that just a German dude?
I don't think it's like two words. I think it's like Anglo-Saxon is like one noun.
No, I think there's old Saxons. The Saxons, sometimes called the Old Saxons, were a Germanic people of early medieval Old Saxony, which became a Carolingian in 804 in what is now northern Germany. So Saxons are just Germans.
What's the Anglo part?
Anglo is when they go to Britain.
Ah. This has been Trayware's history.
Yeah, it is. This is us learning from comic books, which happens a lot, actually. Whenever it's anything about
or having questions, America, and wondering if it's legit.
I think I've learned the most about places outside of America from comic books, and I'm not kidding about that.
You know, I think I've learned the most about America.
Dude, just honestly, just from comics. Dude, when we read The Good Asian, I was like, all this shit happened?
I'm like, are you shitting me?
Are you fucking for real? Yeah. Comics can teach you a thing or two about a thing or two.
This is literature right here.
It really is. They say the once and future king in this issue. So I was like, that's the name of the book.
Oh.
And that's referring to King Arthur.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once and future is just a good name, I think.
Yeah. I think around the time when this is coming out, there's also an Inhumans book called Once and Future Kings.
Yep.
And that just kind of ruined it.
Yeah, that comic isn't very good either.
Really?
That's a tough thing.
And so when they said king, I'm like, oh, man, Inhumans. Wait, are like they saying Bolt. Arthur's Inhuman or something?
Could be. Mm. You never know. This is where the coloring gets really fun because there's a lot of greens and stuff. And when he like resurrects the soldiers, I think Dan Mora did a pretty good job of those, like, of those designs too. The whole sequence is very solo leveling. I know you haven't seen it, but he just does that a lot of the time.
That are reviving?
Yeah, he like will kill something and then say, arise. Arise, and then he just becomes part of the team.
Mm.
So it feels like that a little bit. Chapter 3, Duncan and Gran manage to escape into the regular world. Because I think Colorful World is Other World.
Yeah.
That's what they're calling it. And
they turn places into Other World. It seems like where they are.
So yeah, because when they went to the tower, it was like, we got some dead floating ladies now.
Yeah. Anyway.
So they need a doctor of history that can help find a way to stop King Arthur. So they go to Rose, who is from Duncan's first date in the first issue. And they all go to where King Edgar got crowned, because I guess places where people became kings are all connected. And that's where King Arthur was going. So they find King Arthur there. And he just pulled the sword from the stone, which is bad. And there's a woman with her Galahad. And Gran is about to shoot him to stop the whole ritual.
Did you mention her, like, her little chest of weapons that she has?
I didn't.
So she's strapped, like, this entire time.
She's got a John Wick stash.
Yeah.
That is just in the forest somewhere, which is cool. So I think even though I'm not very good at explaining it, I do like the idea that they just have to know history to know where to go next, because this is like a King Arthur villain.
Yeah,
but they have to know, you know, how to get there. And then there's also the mystical aspects of like anywhere where a king is crowned, it's like they're all connected somehow, you know, things like that. I think are kind of fun.
Yeah, it's definitely helpful to keep the story going, like there always being like a reason for them to go to the next place or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But whether or not this is common knowledge for Brit or Kieran Gillen did like really good research or something,
I assume he would have,
but at this point, I was very lost in the dialogue, and as far as like...
And to be fair, I get lost during National Treasure, too.
That's true. I haven't revisited that in a while.
It's good, man. I watched it at the gym. in the little EOS
really,
cinema.
It really pumps you up.
Dude, I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
He's so smart. He's so smart.
I think there's phrases in this that are probably...
British?
More well known to Brit, like the Galahad or whatever.
And yeah, then, I don't know what that is, a Galahad?
Galahad. And then,
but for some reason, he needs to be the guy that delivers some grail to King Arthur.
And then there's some...
And that's the thing that they need to stop.
Some sort of knight or whatever.
Yeah.
But...
King Arthur has a cool spiked cloak thing now.
Mm.
Like this, the spikes of the hood. Is that his crown? It's like...
His crown's just poking out of his hood.
Okay, I forgot that he had the crown. And so I'm like, why does he just have spikes coming out of the hood? That seems a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
But spikes in a skeleton man are pretty cool, undeniably. All right, chapter 4.
Your boy's a little sleepy. Anyway.
Chapter 4. Duncan stops Gran from shooting the Galahad guy, but they're revealed, so they run off. But they now know that the Galahad and his mom, Elaine, have a Fisher King that knows how to get a grail for King Arthur. but whatever Fisher King is, he's the guy that they need to stop now. So they go to where a guy known as the Fisher King lives. Galahad's like right behind them, and the Fisher King lets Galahad pass into the other world. And then it's revealed that Gran used to be married to the Fisher King guy, and she like shot him in the dick when Fisher King became obsessed with like monster hunting. And he wanted to like keep job security, I guess, because they were too good at hunting monsters, so he wanted more monsters, I think. And then Gran shot him in the dick. But Gran took Duncan and raised him to be a Grail Knight in case Gran needed to like get the Grail herself. So that's why Gran raised Duncan alone without parents.
She also like...
And Duncan...
kept him from all of this, but also trained him to be a Grail Knight somehow?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's considered a Grail Knight, and so if she needed to use him, which is what the story is, then she could.
Yeah.
And then also his middle name is Percy, but it's supposed to be a reference to Percival, which is probably something in history that's important. And then the Fisher King shoots himself so they can't get to the Grail. And I'm like, oh, that's probably bad. He seemed to shoot himself out of spite, which is kind of baller, to be honest. But and
well, yeah, because then they can't
follow,
get there or whatever.
But they were there before, so it's like, I don't know.
Did you mention that they went and picked up like his old date or whatever?
Yeah, Rose.
Rose.
That's yeah, she's been following.
Probably the most attractive person Denmore has ever drawn,
dude. Honestly, yeah. Rose is like as out of his league as he can get, and Duncan's like a pretty attractive, like redheaded dude. You know what I mean?
Probably like a 10 on like the redhead scale.
You know? 10 on the redhead scale, and Rose is a 10 on anything.
Yeah,
she breaks the scale. That's how. Yeah, she looks great, especially in that when you first see her in the first issue, and she's like looks all nice, and I'm like, oh my god,
she's got like a dress on, but like there's wine spilled on her,
and so like I'm looking where the wine is spilled, you know, not anywhere else, obviously.
Like she's definitely very patient with him, even though at any point she could just stormed off,
and I would have been like, yeah, you like, deserve something else, queen.
Yeah,
but yeah, she looks great. I like that Gran's the only one just shooting people without hesitation.
Yeah,
she tries to like shoot the Fisher King guy through the wall.
Through the wall?
Yeah, she like shoots at the wall.
Oh, yeah,
she's like, these walls are paper thin. I could have hit him. And I don't understand why Gran shot him in the dick. I think he was trying to stop him from making more children.
I don't know if it goes that deep or if it was just out of spite or something.
It could have been out of spite. There's a scene where they like are in this house and they're like, that's the Fisher King. And then Galahad and one of the knights come into the house and they just run upstairs while the Galahad just like goes into the other world. And it seems like it would have been a good idea to just like chase after them and go upstairs to like just finish them off so they don't have to worry about them anymore.
Yeah. Oh, well.
No, well, they didn't think about that.
He had to stretch out the story a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
He needed two more issues out of this. But issue 5. There's a lot of lore in this one, so I did my best. But Gran confesses to raising Duncan to be an unknowing Grail Knight in case she missed something from closing all the monster exits, I think is what was going on, and she needed a Grail. But then we find out that Elaine is Duncan's mom, and Galahad is technically like his half-brother. And mm-hmm. So once Duncan admits that Gran was like a father to him, Gran shoots herself and opens a passage to the other world as kind of a Fisher King. Like, it works like that, I guess. So Duncan stops Galahad from getting the Grail, and he runs back to the regular world, thinking that it was going to heal Gran, but it just doesn't exist in the regular world. So then Duncan takes Gran to Bath to try to use healing waters to heal Gran before stopping King Arthur, and Duncan is gifted Excalibur from, I think they're called, like, the Ladies of the Lake.
Yeah.
They just throw Excalibur. I don't know why they had Excalibur, but they had it and they're like, yeah, you can borrow it. You just bring it back.
They hang on to it for people.
I guess so. But there's a lot of information this issue, which is where it kind of lost me. I think I did a good amount, but.
So, yeah. Elaine is Duncan's mom, but they look the same age.
They do.
Because of how attractive Danmore makes everybody.
Yeah. That mom is.
There are some
hot
close-ups where, like, I guess there's wrinkles or something. Mm-hmm. It looks kind of, she looks tired, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe like just a couple lines under the eyes.
Yeah. A bit of white, I guess, in her hair.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know, like, how old Gran's supposed to be. If she's in a retirement home, that means you're probably at least like 70 or something, right?
78. She's moving like she's 70. But she could be 80.
She could be 80. I think she's moving great for 70.
Oh, yeah.
She could be like fucking 50.
For a vampire hunter, you know?
Yeah, for a vampire hunter. Yeah, that's true.
Because Grant always referred to Elaine as like someone she used to work with or whatever. Yeah. And they also said that Elaine had to go find a Lancelot in order to have a son who could be a Galahad mm-hmm. or whatever.
So is that, you just have to find a guy named Lance or Lancelot?
I think it's supposed to be a French dude.
Got it.
I guess. That's what I picked up from this.
Yeah.
That's it, though.
It seems like the rules of this world are very malleable because in order to become a Fisher King, she is just like, I need to hear you say that I was like a dad to you. And he's like, yeah, I guess. And she's like, okay, cool. I'm a Fisher King. And then she shoots herself.
What if that just didn't work?
Yeah. That would have been awesome. So I don't know. This is where it kind of loses me because it's like you're trying to set up these rules to how this world works. And then you just kind of like you fuck with it. And so like, I don't know what's supposed to be. That's the thing that gets me, I think, with fantasy and magic sometimes is like you can just do a thing to get around it.
Yeah.
But you need to spend more time, I think, establishing what makes it work for it to be like a real.
But I don't want to have to like get this expo dump in the first issue.
I don't either.
Just
which is
for
why,
to come back.
Which
later.
Is why it's a tough genre for me in general, because I don't want to have to study like I think it's why Harry Potter is kind of tough for me, even though they have like spells that do specific things. It seems like they have a spell that'll do a thing that is what they need.
That they learned early in the movie.
Yeah, and so I'm just like, okay, well, if there's always a thing that does what you need, then that's not super interesting to me.
Yeah. There's so much unaliving in this book. Back-to-back issues of unaliving.
People, yeah, just people shooting themselves. And it seems like Duncan's always finding himself in a situation where he's in the other room watching somebody do something. This is like the third time that this has happened in this book.
Well, they like sneak up and they're following every, like, Elaine and Arthur
yeah,
the whole time.
They're just chasing people the whole time.
So then like, and then they're talking, and it seems at full volume.
Yeah. And I'm like, at least make the letters like a little bit smaller.
Make it seem like they're whispering. Or at least like the little like carrots. That seems like it's whispering or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Something. But it seems like with regular like word balloons, they're talking like us back and forth. And they're just in the other room doing evil King Arthur stuff.
I guess they're far away enough.
Yeah.
And also like they're doing all this because I guess Arthur's trying to bring like the British islands into the other world or something.
I don't know what his goal is, to be honest.
That's what I picked up, I think.
Hmm. That'd be fun. Yeah, why not?
Just missing islands from the earth.
Yeah.
Very fun.
A little bit more real estate. So chapter 6, Grant is carried by Duncan and they make their way to the other world through Bath. They like go back to this place called Bath again.
City, I guess.
Huh?
Like it's a city.
I think it's a like a small city. And so Duncan confronts King Arthur, his mother, and the Galahad dude, and Duncan has to fight a bunch of undead army with Excalibur. He does a pretty good job. And then Grant tells Arthur, King Arthur, that Elaine slept with a Frenchman. Which pisses King Arthur off. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? You did that shit? And so he just switches up on him and starts fighting them. And Duncan protects Elaine, but the whole other world just starts morphing for some reason. So Duncan and Gran get out and Mary just kind of runs deeper into the other world. And so Duncan returns Excalibur to the Ladies of the Lake, and then Duncan kills the questing beast, which I think means that they're off on another quest. And that's the end of the book.
Because the questing beasts only come around when they're about to go on a quest.
When they start a new quest. And I'm
which
like.
Which is like so fucking fairy tale to me.
It's because they're like, the world knows that you're on a quest.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of silly. But whatever.
You're just looking over
why
your shoulder.
Why is that the thing that is like a questing thing? What's significant about a snake tiger?
So I just looked it up. So Bath has a place called the Roman Baths. And it's like a museum now.
Mm.
But it looks like that.
Yep, that's where they were.
Yeah,
it's green.
So it's green.
I thought that was just a creative decision by Tamara Bonvillain.
No, it's dirty water. No.
They don't clean that shit.
Yeah, they don't have like a fucking chlorine system going.
They don't
that.
Have a pool guy that comes in and sweeps.
You don't put shock in the.
Imagine someone comes in and shocks it.
Yeah, we're scrubbing it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
why I don't know why the whole other world starts going morphing and goes all crazy, but. They got the fuck out of
it. I think because it was like falling apart for whatever reason. The So they go to plenty of locations in this book.
Yeah, they do.
Right. But it almost like irks me more that they go back to a place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, why are we going back here?
We're backtracking now.
Yeah. And then I'm like.
So he could have gotten Excalibur the first time they went there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And where did Arthur get like this army from?
He's just been killing people, I guess, in his downtime.
Yeah. And then just.
He has like some skeleton horses, Pegasus things.
I guess so.
Yeah. I don't know, but he has...
He's like the Night King, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. The colors go crazy this chapter, because you're in the other world, like, a lot of the time.
Right.
That is fun. It was fun to look at.
I like how at the end of this, how, like, when, you know, everything's over for now, and then, like, Duncan just goes to shake Rose's hand, and then there's... walk off.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the
no kiss.
The typical like, oh my god, in this crazy event, I figured I find you sexy now, and now then they kiss and embrace.
Yeah.
But no, none of that.
I guess they yeah.
Cause that if that happened when there's like very little chemistry throughout the book, I would have been pissed.
Yeah. That's true. Maybe they like were trying to get to there, but they're like, we just couldn't squeeze it in because we have so much lore.
Yeah.
And so they're like, yeah,
handshake. You can't put what's happening in your vows, you know?
Yeah.
I first fell in love with you when you killed Arthur, King Arthur, the resurrected once a future king.
When you were wielding Excalibur like that, it was so hot.
Yeah. And then there's back matter.
Yeah, some back matter matters.
Yep.
Back matter matters.
It's like did you get a teaser page for the next arc?
Yeah, there's some dude named Merlin that's like, hey, Mary.
Another dead-looking guy Berlin. In a hood.
Pretty cool.
Glowing eyes and a weapon.
He's got a scythe, though.
And
a staff.
A staff
with
some spikes.
So if you like that.
Yeah.
And then we get some covers.
They're laying up to her shit.
We get some covers. Some more Dan Mora. One per store covers, I guess.
Didn't know a lot of these guys or people.
David LaFuente, I'm familiar with, but I've probably only read one of his books.
It looks kind of
Christian Ward.
Christian Wardy.
Yeah, this one does specifically. I think the only thing I've read of his was Sinister Sons.
Oh.
He's in that. He's pretty good in it. But yeah, this looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's a Paulina Jeanchot. Don't know. Who she is.
Carrie Randolph.
Yeah, fun. This Jacob Rebelka one kind of looks like Mike Del Mundo.
Yeah.
Yeah, just some good covers. There's a Jay Lee one that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I always like seeing his stuff.
Yeah, he kind of like uses the same poses a lot. Or it just looks like a pose that Jay Lee would draw every time I see him draw someone that is doing a weird pose.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty fun. And some plugs for other... What is this? Boom?
Boom.
So what would you rate this book, Daniel?
Ooh.
It's a British food you like.
I like a spud.
Okay.
But like with like too many beans on it. Like beans is like a... common topping on the spuds out there. I like a spud. It like hits a specific craving, but
that potato.
Yeah,
with some beans,
butter, like fried onions and stuff, cheese. But the beans, I'm always like, I don't know, I could go without
because
it's basically like a baked potato, you know, in a loaded one.
They do love their beans,
and so. I don't think it's something that I would eat quite as often as a Brit would, but there's good stuff about it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm in the mood for it.
What's like a pretty looking food that isn't that good?
A pretty looking food that's not that good. Like a British one?
It doesn't have to be British. Ratatouille looks great, but I don't know if it'll be like that good.
Yeah, it's just vegetables.
Yeah. I would give it like a ratatouille.
Okay.
Colors are great. Yeah. And the presentation, I'm like, fuck yeah.
Movies make it look cooler than it probably is.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. But then you're eating it and you're like, this ain't bad.
Like they had a whole movie based on it.
It is. I wonder if they went through like different names or different foods to name the actual movie.
It surely was.
It's probably the one with
had to be Ratatouille for the rat character.
Mm, but maybe they were like, there's another food with like another animal in there.
Yeah, moose.
Dude, yeah, it's about meese.
A meese that can cook.
And it's set in Canada.
Yeah,
that's probably what I would rate this. I enjoyed it. I think it's a good gift. I like seeing the Dan Mora stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
But lore gets a little bit crazy. I like just a lot of the dynamics and stuff in it, but following the story, I think, lost me a bit. Which happens.
Yeah. Let's go into the pull list, Colin.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
So we didn't do pull list last week.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't like been to the shop in a couple weeks, so.
So there's, for me, mostly came on the 17th, where Everything Dead and Dying, number 4.
Very cool.
And the Kryptonite Spectrum, number 5.
Yes!
Last one of that. And then the week of recording, books that came on the 24th was Absolute Man, Martian Manhunter, number 7. And ooh, I also got an Image Comics stocking stuffer.
What the hell is that?
Did you see that?
No, I don't know what that is.
It is an overpriced blind bag.
You haven't opened it yet?
No, I haven't. I want to do it on the pod.
Dude, let's go.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God, you dropped it.
No.
Oh, God. Invincible number 1. Oh, no.
What's special about this is that it's a guaranteed ratio variant. Like cool. A 20-in-1 ratio variant.
So how much was that?
$20.
So it could be any Image book?
Yeah.
Should we make a little guess?
Sure.
What's an Image book that came out recently?
I bet it's like...
What, maybe it's that new...
I bet it's like a Spawn variant.
What's that Rob Liefeld?
Oh, Youngblood. Okay. I like, ooh, it's bagged already. That's nice. So it's protected when I just dropped it.
Yeah. Have you ever opened a bag in your life?
Dude, I'm being careful.
I bet it's kind of like opening like magic cards, which I know you haven't done.
Shit. Yeah. There's like a little tear mark.
You haven't seen it yet?
Okay. I like saw it, but I didn't recognize it.
Okay. What is that?
Department of Truth.
Oh. That's number 1?
Number 33.
Oh. They have ratio variants at number 33 of that shit?
I guess so.
Damn, you are Rob.
Yeah, well, they gave me a resealable bag.
That was fun. Yeah, true. $20 for one resealable bag.
Maybe I'll say who did it. Cause it's not.
Yeah, let me see the art again. Is it somebody we know? Did you see who did it?
No, I didn't say.
Okay. Okay, well, I can't really tell who it is.
Well, there we go. Do you know what you're going to get?
Sounds like a lot of that stuff that you already mentioned. I don't know what really came out, so I gotta look and maybe go tomorrow.
Let me figure out how to do this variant over. Sam Wolf Connolly.
Pretty good.
It was a 1 in 25 variant.
We should do Department of Truth.
Yeah.
We haven't done that yet.
Anyway, what did you watch, Nathan?
Well, what'd you get for Christmas? That's also part of the pull list.
Oh, I got a lot of shit.
See if you can name it just without even looking.
Oh, fuck. I got the Saga of Swamp Thing box set.
That's fucking cool, by the way. I'm kind of jealous of that.
I got the Batman by Paul Dini omnibus.
Big boy.
I got the Howard the Duck by Chip Zdarsky omnibus.
I'm jealous of that too.
I got the Rogue Trooper collection.
Mm-hmm.
I got first you one of that. You got me that. I got volume 5 of Akira.
Do you have the first four volumes?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
What did Carter get me? Carter got me, ooh, the complete collection of Luther Strode.
Mm, yeah.
Which was cool.
I think that was everything.
That was everything. Yeah, they're pretty good.
Nice.
What about you?
For Christmas, I got Batman Earth 1, Volume 3, which is cool. I read the first couple of pages while we were going around reading, and they killed Harvey Bullock. And I'm like,
what?
That's bullshit. Also, then I forgot that he was teaming up with Killer Croc. So he was just kind of like there in a scene randomly. And I was like, whoa. And so I got that. I got Precious Metal, Volume 1, which I'm really stoked about. from you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got Paul Pope's 100%.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
Cool.
So I'm pretty stoked about that.
What made you get that or add that to like your list?
I saw a TikTok of people. It was like a meme and it was like, trust me, bro, read this. And it was just like a bunch of stories. And the first four, I was like, this guy knows ball. And then he put Paul Pope's 100%. I don't even know what it's about.
Mm.
But it looks cool, so I'm going to check it out. And I've heard a lot of good things about Paul Pope. He has that like Batman Year 100, and he's got another book set in Chicago. I asked you to read one episode, and you shot it down pretty fast. I can't remember what it's called.
Though. I think he would do variants, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's around. He's been doing work, but it seems like just really dedicated to the craft. He's like one of those guys that it feels like.
Good.
And I think that's it.
What'd you read?
I read DCKO number 2.
How was that?
Crazy. But I like the challenge that they were put into because it was really good at eliminating a bunch of people in an interesting way.
Mm.
So I like it so far. And I think DCKO number 3 came out. So I got to pick that up. That was the only like single issue thing I read, fortunately. What did you read?
So you read a trade.
I read one trade and then just the DCKO. And I started reading Batman Year 1, I guess.
I read I Hate First Fairyland one. Number 3 of the new run.
Mm-hmm.
Or the middle run, I guess. And then I read Animal Man number 2. And I read the Rogue.
Animal Man.
Grant Morrison.
Do you have that physically?
No, I was reading it digitally.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I read The Road.
Oh, cool.
Cormac McCarthy. This is...
All that?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's not very dense at all. It's like mostly like a art book, it feels like. It's like a lot of art.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude does not miss a fucking step. Like he does...
Let me take a gander.
He does not slack like in any shape or form.
You got this a little bit ago.
I got it a little... This past year.
Yeah. I remember flipping through this.
Because that has...
Holy shit.
That's by like a French artist. And I saw it in France last time I went.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was like the book at the time.
Yeah.
Cormac McCarthy's an American dude. And and The Road is like a book.
By Manu Larsonet.
Yeah, that's the artist. And so...
Oh.
They...
Okay, got it.
They published the English version. Like in 2024, but for some reason I didn't get my copy until earlier this year.
Neat.
But yeah, it's good
really
stuff.
Really good.
It's very bleak and pretty sad.
Cool.
But it looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks like it.
So.
Very fun.
Did you watch anything? Oh, yeah. Did you watch anything?
I watched the new Knives Out yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Wake Up Dead Man.
Mm-hmm, me too. That? Yeah.
It's really good.
I liked it a lot.
This one's my favorite.
I gotta rewatch the first one to determine that, but it is better than the second one.
Better than the second one, for sure. I don't even remember who did it in the second one. Wasn't it Edward Norton staging it on himself or something?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, this one was really, really good. It was like really long, and I wanted it to be longer.
I was okay with the length.
No, the length is like 2.5 hours, but I was like locked in. And it was a movie that Sophia fell asleep in like 5 minutes because we were both really tired.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just kind of locked in. And I really just enjoyed the main character a lot.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Like the strongest main character. Who's
Josh O'Connor? Or no?
I think it's the actor's name, Josh O'Connor.
O'Connor. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. Like very dynamic character. The whole situation, I think, was really interesting. And I like guessed the whodunit person and the way of the whodunit. Cause I was like, I bet it's the old lady, but I bet she didn't do the killing. She probably convinced somebody like Ted Bundy.
It seemed like they were trying to make it obvious that she did it at the beginning. I'm like, okay, she probably didn't do it then.
Mm-hmm.
And so me and Sarah just bet on it and we were both wrong. We just picked someone randomly. Like, I mean, it's a wheelchair girl.
There's a couple, there's like a couple right answers. They did a really good job with it, though, and I think it was really fun. Definitely. You kind of get, there's kind of like a lot of twists that happen, but I was like super into it the whole time. And I really like just Benoit Blanc's journey throughout the whole one because it's a very like religious heavy movie, mm-hmm. and it has a lot of like criticisms on religion, but then it also shows like a lot of really powerful like human connection part of religion, and he like kind of sees all of that through Judd, who's the priest in it. And I don't know, very, very interesting relationship that Benoit Blanc kind of explores of religion. And then you see that kind of come to fruition at the end when he kind of has like a deeper humanity.
Yeah.
And he's also kind of questioning his own morals of like the game that he plays, like trying to hunt down a killer.
Yeah.
And like, you know, what's important about religion is like helping people mainly. So
like he knows there's a lot of really fun, but he didn't like
at the moment,
but
when,
like the, like the court system doesn't know who did it. It doesn't know that he figured it out. You know?
Yeah. Like, and at the moment where he was kind of like laying it all out, he decided to like withhold some of that information to have a like more important kind of deeper moment and allow someone to come forward with it on their own. And at the very, very end, the spoilers, I guess we already spoiled some stuff, but when the old lady was like forgiving Grace, who's the harlot whore in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and it was like kind of really hard for her to do that, I thought it was very touching.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I like when the fucking gem fell out and Benoit was like, why does he know? So, and he was like really funny in this. Just, he's funny things that happen in this movie a lot.
Yeah, I could watch like 10 more of these.
Dude, me too.
And him and the Josh O'Connor like buddy cop thing that they had going on was like perfect.
So fun.
And I just want,
because that character,
I want them, those two actors just in another thing together.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe this is the only thing we'll really get.
Yeah.
But
what has that dude been in? Because I was looking at the Letterboxd reviews and they're like, Josh O'Connor's so fucking hot.
Yeah. He's a priest with a neck tattoo, dude.
Does he have a neck tattoo?
Yeah.
In the movie?
It's awesome.
Oh, I have to rewatch. I'm going to rewatch it with Sophie because she fell asleep, but I told her it was the best one. She's like, okay, got to watch it.
He was in Challengers, that Zendaya like tennis movie.
He's one of the tennis guys.
Yeah,
he made out with a boy.
Yep.
Cool.
It's very good movie.
I've seen 5 minutes of that movie.
I don't know if I don't think I recommended to you and told you to watch it, but it is a good movie.
Cool.
And there's plenty of him if you want more of that. He's probably the best part of that movie.
Nice. I also played a lot of Balatro and Cyberpunk last couple weeks. Good games in their own way.
Yeah.
But Cyberpunk is very fun. I didn't think I was going to be into it at first because there's a lot that the game like throws at you and you're like, and I just got overstimulated. But then once I stopped doing like the main story and I was doing a lot of the fun side quests, it's super, super fun.
Nice.
And you can like hack things if you want to be like a big hacker. So there's like a side quest where you just join like a street racing sort of gang.
Mm-hmm.
And you do like street races, but you can like shoot each other. So it's kind of like death race. And that's really fun. But I got to the point where I could hack people's cars and make it so that it like the brakes don't work for them. So when you're like hitting a turn, I would like hack their car right before that and they would slam into the wall. Super fun. So there's a lot of a lot of creativity in that game if you want.
Yeah.
So I like it so far. And Emily has put in like hundreds of hours into it, I think.
Wow.
Or at least over 100. She's on her second playthrough and she's like 60 hours into it. And she was telling me that there's a person that you could sleep with in the game. And I got so close. And I tried to like pull the trigger in the moment that felt like it was right. And then the girl was like, I'm not that kind of woman. I'm like, fuck, I fucked it up. But then she brought me in for a kiss and I was like, yes, let's go. And so like, it's like written really well.
The game is designed for you to have game, but you're ungameness.
But like, I guess I just didn't fucking hit the right selection at the moment. So
No Riz,
I guess. V, that's my character. What'd you watch?
I watched Intolerable Cruelty, which is a Coen Brothers movie.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like this one very much, but I thought it was awesome.
Cool.
I was a big fan of it. It's like their take on like a rom-com. And
oh,
it's,
wow,
it's so funny. I thought it was awesome. Got George Clooney and Cedric the Entertainer.
What?
Yeah. So I was like, hold on a minute.
Are they romantically involved?
No. Oh,
okay.
But it feels like a movie that would rerun on like Stars or something.
Mm.
And it, I don't know. I think some people may watch this, but didn't even know it was like a Coen Brothers movie, you know?
Yeah, it seems out of left field for them.
Yeah, it was just like, they punched up a script and then the director fell off and then they just did it or whatever.
Cool.
like George Clooney's like a divorce attorney, but he falls in love with his client's like ex-wife or whatever.
Mm.
And they just, it's just a really fun dynamic. George Clooney's like a terrible person because he's like this very good divorce attorney, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, really fun. I rewatched The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Yeah.
Did you know Clancy Brown was in that?
Which one?
Buster Scruggs.
He's in the Buster Scruggs one?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I saw his name pop up at like the credits. I'm like, when the fuck was that?
Yeah, but, that's interesting. I watched that like when it came out, so I barely remember any of it.
I remembered most of the stories, and then the ones I didn't remember, I ended up liking more than the ones I remembered.
Mm.
That's okay. I mean, like the anthology thing is like cool and whatnot, but overall, it's not like a big favorite of mine. You know? Yeah. And then I watched a movie called The Harder They Fall, which is a Netflix movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Western about black cowboys.
Cool.
And this thing has like sauce for days.
Really?
Yeah, it's dripping with like style.
Did that come out this year?
No, it came out like 3 years ago, I think.
Okay.
It's got like Idris Elba. It's got Regina King. It's got Jonathan Majors. It's got like Lakeith Stanfield.
Oh, he's got sauce.
He's like, he's the best.
Yeah. In that. He's in Roofman. And yeah. He's like one of the better parts of Roofman, but he barely has any lines. But yeah. I'm like, him alone just makes this movie better.
Yeah. It's a really long movie and that kind of hurts it, I think.
Mm.
But overall, pretty solid.
Cool.
Sarah put that on randomly. I did not expect her to just put on a Western.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, yep.
Hey, okay, sure. Yeah,
we can watch it. Sometimes I just don't even tell her if something's on my list, you know?
Because if you do, you'll probably be like, ah.
Then she'll be like, no, nah, you want to watch, this? I don't think so. So I think I add a bunch of shit to like my list or whatever, and then that makes it just pop up in algorithms a little bit more.
Oh, smart.
And so.
It's kind of like gaslighting your partner and wanting to watch a movie.
That's the only way I get what I want.
Manipulating the algorithm to gaslight your partner.
But Nathan, this is a new year.
New year.
Do you have any comic book resolutions?
Dude, I gotta read more of my trades.
I agree. And I'm going to do exactly that.
You're going to read more trades?
I'm going to read an additional trade that I own physically. On top of whatever trade we do.
Every week?
Every week.
So you're not going to like read single issues?
I'll fit some in.
Okay.
But the goal is another trade. This one was like the first one.
Wow.
This is like...
There's some big trades you got, dude.
The whole like, you know, volume, or at least volume five ones, issues of... You know. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You have like big Paul Dini Batman Omnibuy.
Omni's...
There's five I'll issues at a time or something?
I'll do the small ones first. Okay. And then go to the big ones.
Fair enough.
But I just like... They're just staring at me in my face.
Dude, they are. They're right next to me as I work. And I'm like, I should just stop working.
Mine are right next to my desk. And so I'm like, can't wait to read that. Yeah.
I should try and do that too, but.
It's tough. But I got a kid. I'm going to do it. So you have no excuse, enough. Really.
I got no kid. I got no responsibilities. And I'm not going to do it.
And also, Nathan.
I want to reread Chew this year. That's what I want to do.
It'd be good. You can do like a trade a week of that.
Yeah.
Was that 9 trades-ish? 9 or 10?
It was 12. 12?
Wow.
Yeah. 60 issues.
Yeah. But we have our Trade Warriors Awards.
Right now?
Yep. All nominees. Sure. Nathan.
Yeah. I've not thought about this, but I'll go off the dome.
Off the dome. Best new Marvel. I really only put a couple things. In some things, I only put one. For my nominees, but I nominate Daredevil, A Cold Day in Hell.
Oh, for sure.
As the best new Marvel.
Mm-hmm, I like that one.
I'm not the biggest Marvel reader, so.
I'm going to look up a thing real quick of what people think, and I'll go with that. Hold on.
What do you mean, what people think?
Like a Marvel Best of Comics list, and I'll say which ones I agree with.
I mean, there is like Captain America, if you're into that.
Does the new X-Men launch this year? I think so, right?
The Age of Revelation stuff? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so. I think I read it and I didn't know what was going on.
Marvel had kind of a weak year for me, I think.
Yeah, because it's like the tail end of all the Ultimate stuff, and then
Alien versus Avengers, was that this year? That was some fun stuff.
Yeah.
There was a lot of the Ultimate stuff was still strong, but the only one I kept up on was Ultimate X-Men, and I'm still behind on that.
But best new DC?
Oh my god. So much. Kryptonite Spectrum.
Absolute Martian Manhunter.
Absolute Martian Manhunter's up there. You gotta go. What else is there?
There wasn't any new Absolute stuff other than Martian Manhunter. DCKO, if you're into that.
Hold on.
There's like Zatanna, if you're on that.
I read the first issue of it, but I didn't like it as much as Bring Down the House.
Yeah.
Which is what I was into, but. So there's a Justice League Unlimited that I think was pretty fun for a little bit.
Oh yeah, that was dense. Or there was just a lot in it, you know.
But I think they're just kind of continuing like a pretty hot streak of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with their Absolute line and some of the more ongoing things.
And the best new indie. I'm just gonna keep it going.
Hold on. Oh, DC Sonic.
Yeah.
There was just the limited. Yeah. Oh, New Gods.
New Gods. Well, I guess I did.
Superman Unlimited. And
oh, yeah. Huh.
Resurrection Man. I gotta read that. I was so into it. There was, those are the big ones. There's like Metamorpho and stuff like that, but I don't know if we'd put that out there.
I guess people really like that one. I wasn't too keen on the first issue, but.
Yeah. It might be like a.
I've been wrong before.
Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong 2.
Mm-hmm.
People, we love that. But yeah, I think one of the ones we were saying, New Gods, Superman, Kryptonite Spectrum, Absolute Martian Manhunter. Those are the big ones for me.
Alrighty. Best new indie?
Best new indie. We got
Everything Dead and Dying.
That one's super fun.
Very good. Drome.
Drome. Rocked my shit. And no one even knows about it, probably.
Only
criminally
the real
underrated.
Ones.
Even if it was everybody fucking went crazy over it, is criminally underrated.
Surely it'll be nominated.
100% it needs to be nominated.
Yeah, because the Eisners know ball. You know, they know the deep cuts and whatnot.
Yeah, they do. There's Beneath the Trees.
Yeah.
That one's super fun. That's good so far.
Always good.
Assorted Crisis Events. People like that.
Big fans.
Don't you have an app?
Yeah,
that,
dude.
That tells you everything?
Kind of.
that you read, at least?
Somewhat.
I need to start doing that.
You should just track it on League of Comic Geeks.
Do they have a thing?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll probably start doing that.
I also keep track of what I read on
dude,
that.
Dude, I just read and then it goes into my brain and then it goes away.
Planet Death? Ooh, Spider-Man Noir was last year for Marvel.
Well, that's a good one, too. Yeah, throw that up there.
Yeah. There's the DC Marvel stuff. I don't know if that's quite that high.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't know if I would say it's like best of the year type stuff.
I'm just kind of going with the stuff that I read.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at random lists.
Oh, Battle Beast. That was good. That was good fun.
That one's really fun. There is...
Oh, I guess there's Batman this year, too. Batman number one.
Oh, true. Batman relaunch. We got... Yep, Drome, I agree.
Anyway, what else we got? The best trade we reviewed this year?
What was the beginning of the year? What episode was that?
248.
Okay, we have... Let's say...
We have Little Bird.
Little Bird is great. We love Little Bird. Fables is fun.
Beneath the Trees
is great. Did we do that with Sarah?
Yeah.
Did she like it?
I think so, yeah.
She
thought it was good.
Dawn Runner.
Ooh, yeah.
We did...
Predator versus Wolverine.
Superman Birthright.
Oh, yeah.
Aliens Dead Orbit.
Ooh. That is a good one.
30 Days of Night. Romina. Should we narrow it down to like 4 or 5 and then think about it? Dogman. You got to think about Dogman.
I think those nominations are fine. You know,
okay,
we,
cool.
We got those in our head.
All right.
Best nacho series, Nathan.
This is tough. I've had a hard time getting series. But then I
and then reading them.
And then reading them.
And then continuously reading them to, yeah, see, them,
to see if they suck.
See them nacho out. I wrote down Absolute Superman.
Yeah,
because
that could be a really good one, to be honest.
That was an insane start for me, but I think the shock value of it died down with the rest of it, because more of the shock value would just be in like everything that was different.
Yeah.
You know, and so once you're settled in that world, I guess it's not, it wasn't that tantalizing for me.
Mm-hmm. Did you continue reading Assorted Crisis Events?
No, I just bought the one. Everyone kept talking about it and kept trying to get me to buy it, but
yeah,
I was like, number one was good,
mm-hmm,
but I just wasn't feeling it, I guess. I wrote down Avengers versus Aliens.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't quite the ending that was that satisfying to me.
I think it was still, yeah, I think it's a good one because it's,
like, it looks incredible. It's fun.
It looks incredible. And they're doing crazy things, you could tell. But I don't know if it like necessarily ended.
Mm-hmm.
There's maybe even like Predator versus Spider-Man. Because I read through all of that.
Yeah, I could see that. What about Best Writer, Nathan?
Best Writer. I mean, Scott Snyder's had a big year. He's very hit or miss for me most of the time, but a lot of the stuff he's been working on, you know, undeniably pretty fun. I know you haven't really been up on Absolute Batman necessarily.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying what I've read of that this year, even though I'm a couple behind.
The biggest year for him.
For sure. DCKO.
Yeah.
He's in there. Some other stuff that he's done.
I think the writer who's just had the biggest year of his career is Dennis Camp.
Oh, 100%.
So
he's been up and around and all over the place.
Everything that he's been on, people have been going crazy about.
I feel like Jed McKay's everywhere.
He is everywhere.
And I don't like his Moon Knight, but people do, which is good for them.
Yeah. And good for him.
We could go, Matt Fraction. He's back.
He's back.
I mean, he's only got like 3 issues of Batman or 4.
But big issues.
Big return, yeah, big issues. They're fun. We got not Martin Morazzo, because he's the artist, right?
W. Maxwell Prinz?
Yeah, W. Maxwell Prinz.
Yeah, he put out a deck of cards that's a comic with Ice Cream Man.
Are you shitting me?
Who else?
That's crazy stuff.
And then Kryptonite Spectrum.
Yeah, and Kryptonite Spectrum, of course.
So, we'll keep those in mind.
Yeah.
Best Penciler.
You got some Dan Mora.
Of course, Dan Mora.
Yeah. He was doing some of the DC Marvel stuff. He's been doing DC, not DCKO. He's just doing
JL Unlimited.
Yeah, Justice League Unlimited. And I think he was on, no, that would have been the beginning of this year. I was thinking World's Finest. He did other stuff, didn't he?
I don't know.
Well, I guess just think of limited is like 8 in. That would make sense. 8 or 9 in.
And then also Javier Rodriguez.
Oh my God, that dude, so good.
I think just the one book, but just a strong entry. It's kind of, I don't think we should give the penciler award to who does the most work necessarily.
Yeah.
Hayden Sherman.
Hayden Sherman there. Yeah, doing lots of hustle this year.
Right.
We got, I'm just looking through stuff that I've read. Peach Momoko, staying strong.
Yeah.
Esad Ribic, AVA.
Mm-hmm.
You doing some fun stuff? We got, dude, Plastic Man No More was happening this year? At the beginning?
Guess so, yeah.
Wow. But yeah, that's some good stuff.
Best colorist?
I haven't really been paying attention too much to colors.
I wrote down Jose Villarrubia, because I can't remember why, but I remember thinking like, this guy's good.
Okay, cool.
We haven't given it to this guy before.
Who's the guy on New Gods?
I don't know.
Was there Saga this year?
Francesco Segala.
Oh, who's he on?
On New Gods.
Oh, okay. I like his stuff on New Gods.
Yeah, he's very good.
Who's coloring Daredevil? Was that Dave Stewart? That Daredevil Cold Day in Hell?
Ooh, I don't know. Hold on one second.
Jordi Belair is on Absolute Wonder Woman.
That is a good one.
Yep. She's been doing really good.
Yeah, we have never given it to Jordi Belair, so it's...
We haven't?
Mm-mm.
What are we doing?
I don't know, dude.
Did Steve McNiven color himself on Cold Day in Hell?
I don't know. Is that what it says?
It just says Charles Soule, Steve McNiven.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
Very present.
Yeah, Steve McNiven.
Nice.
Okay, cool. We got a couple of them.
Do you have any letters that...
No, not really.
I wrote down Becca Carey.
She gets it.
All right.
Congratulations.
Best prestige book?
Big Boy?
Yeah, so like distillery stuff.
Yeah. I haven't really been into much of that this year.
I think
because my
just The Missionary?
Magazine, yeah, just The Missionary, I think. We read
is issue
two
both
of.
Read? Yeah.
I think issue one wasn't this year.
Nah.
Yeah, because my magazine box is like almost full, so I'm like, I'll get a magazine, but it's got to be really good. You know what I mean?
So far, it looks like our biggest back matter is The Conjuring, The Lover.
Oh, God. Is it really?
With 49 pages of back matter because it had all those backup stories.
Oh. That we considered back matter?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it was.
So, because it did the main
story. At least
story.
It did good at something.
And then best comic by someone who doesn't make comics.
Post Malone.
Yeah.
he did one, at least.
It's very big.
That's a big one. Who else was doing stuff? Didn't Tom Hardy do something?
Arcbound.
Was that this year?
I think so.
There's...
But neither of us have read that.
Yeah.
Or Arcbound started in 2024.
Oh, okay. Now. Well, there's stuff with Keanu Reeves' name on it, but I don't think he's like actually on anything.
Mm-hmm.
For Berserker, I think all the title credits just say creator. Berserker creator, Keanu Reeves, and they just put his name on the book.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't feel good counting that. But there were a couple of actors that were doing stuff, weren't there?
I think Josh Gad's comic.
Oh, true. That did come out.
The writer or whatever.
I'd have to look into that one, I think.
But, yeah, we'll look into that.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyway, if you feel very strongly about any of those, email in traderspot@gmail.com.
And we'll consider it.
Yeah.
But we run the show here. So that means whatever we say is right. Whatever you say, probably right as well, to be honest.
What are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
We're going to read the book I got you.
Yeah.
It was called Murder Book.
And it's true.
Okay, I couldn't remember the name of it the other day.
Yeah, by Ed Brisson in various artists.
Yeah. So hopefully
Dark
that's
Horse
good.
Comics.
Hopefully that's good. Never heard of it until I saw it on the shelf.
It's the best way to find stuff.
It is. I mean, sometimes it is. You never know. So, Murder Book next week.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. There's a link tree in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Read your trades. They're staring at you.
Thanks for another year of, you know, listening to us.
Of waiting for trades.
Of waiting for trades. You got some trades. Time to read them.
Yeah. And sticking with us for some of the weird ones we did this year. Because I was just looking through them and what the hell are we doing? Why are we doing Toxic Avenger?
There's a movie.
I know there's a movie.
Anyway. And goodbye.
All right, bye.